Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Compassionate. All praises to Allah, the Creator of the universes and their Sustainer, the Provider of believers and unbelievers. And may His choicest blessings be on the seed of His Prophet, the last of His Messengers, and His holy progeny. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Book mentions of Haman. That name comes again and again. It comes in the Holy Book at least 5 times. The Jews made a criticism of that. They say, oh, this is a misnomer, there was no Haman. And the Holy Prophet Ta'ala has made a mistake when he was trying to learn about the Prime Minister of Fir'aun from the Jews. And the Holy Prophet never did so. Hence, the need for scientific research on that point. Of course, the Muslims dismissed it. Quran talked of Haman, not once, repeatedly. And the Muslims had no problem with the Jewish criticism, because the Jews were not able to give a substitute. They were not able to provide a complete answer. They were not able to provide a complete answer to what was then the true name of this minister, of this pharaoh. So the criticism was regarded as baseless. But as Allah would have it, He was not going to have the matter left in a bag. Research started. Dr. Bouquet also made research on this particular point. And whether that word Haman was an authentic name or not. And research after research consistently proved that Haman was in existence. He was the leader of the quarry workers in the time of Fir'aun. He was the minister of Fir'aun, and indeed he was a close person whom Fir'aun consulted. And the ayat of Quran that talk about Haman were ayat that were absolutely authentic. The ayat of Quran talk of Fir'aun having asked Haman to create a tower, a tall tower, so that Fir'aun can go to the top of the tower to fight the god of Musa, which he could never have done. Quran talks of Haman being used to bolster the workers, and research shows that he was the head of the college. Dr. Bouquet went to Egypt and made research and started deciphering hieroglyphs in respect of those days, centuries ago, and he found that what was contained in the hieroglyph, and he deciphered it through Egyptologists and experts on hieroglyphy, and came clearly to the conclusion the word Haman was used in those hieroglyphs, and proved that he did exist and he was indeed the Prime Minister of Egypt. And so that was not sufficient. There was further research carried out in the Museum of Vienna. And when that was done, it was discovered that in the Hof Museum of Vienna, there was proof that, again, through the deciphering of hieroglyphs, that he was close related to Pharaoh and was the head of the quarry workers. And indeed, that research led to a third research that there was an engraving on a particular monument in Vienna. That engraving set out the story of the Pharaoh, and in that story his instructions to Haman as the head of the quarry workers were contained, and that name was specifically used. So till today there is proof of that word having been used. Contrary to the Jewish criticism, a large word having been authenticated by scientific research. Need not have been, a large word was final, but at least the inaccurate criticism of the Jews was put to rest completely. And likewise with the prediction of Allah glorified and exalted, and the promise of Allah glorified and exalted in respect of the body of Fir'aun. Allah Ta'ala says, when Fir'aun was drowned, as he thought to cross the river as Nabi Musa had, and he was drowned altogether, Allah Allah was sent a letter to Fir'aun. Fir'aun then brought faith on Rabbi Musa wa Harun. He brought faith on Allah. And that, of course, was not accepted by Allah immediately. He was still drowned. But what Allah said was that I will preserve your body. And I will preserve your body as a lesson to posterity. These holy verses are contained in the holy book in chapter 10. From verse 90 to 92, Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَاوَزْنَا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرِ. And we made the children of Israel to cross the sea. وَجَاوَزْنَا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرِ. أَتَبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنَ. And Fir'aun وَجُنُودَهُ. And Fir'aun and his army followed them. فَأَبَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَجِنُودَهُ. Fir'aun and his army followed Nabi Musa. They thought that the path has been created. Nabi Musa alayhi salam crossing the river, his army crossed the river, they would be able to do so too. The purpose, as you know, until that stage was to arrest Nabi Musa and kill him, to arrest the entire army of Nabi Musa alayhi salam and kill him. But as they were then moving on, the water fell onto Fir'aun. Once the Israelites were all protected and were all safe, and they all died. That's an episode very well known to you. But Allah Ta'ala in Quran says that when that happened, and the army of Fir'aun were chasing them, baghyan wa adwa, they were chasing them aggressively and sinfully. Hatta idha adrakahul gharaq. And when they reached the time when they saw that they are now being drowned, qala, then Fir'aun said, Amantu annahu la ilaha illa dawi amanat bihi banu Israel. He says, I bring faith on that God on whom the children of Israel have brought faith. Now this is at the nick of time, death imminent, seconds away. He says, I bring faith on the Allah amanat bihi banu Israel, on the God on whom the children of Israel brought faith. وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And I am among those who submit to Allah. Not only they. The next holy verse of the Quran makes exactly that point. And says, فَالْيَوْمَ نُنْجِيكَ. Today you are bringing, sorry, it is الآن. وَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. الآن, you are bringing faith now. وَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا قَبْلُ, and before that, now you were a sinner. You sinned consistently. And indeed, not only sin, that is wrong by itself. وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ, and you are amongst the mischief mongers. Indeed, he was the major mischief monger, calling himself God, telling people, أَنَا رَبَّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ, I am your great Lord. Well, so Allah Ta'ala says, فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بَدَنِكَ. But today we will save your body. We will not save you. You will be drowned and drowned now. And meet the punishment for all your facade, all the mischief that you have carried out. But we will save your body. لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. So that those who will come after you, for them your body will be a sign from Allah. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ أَنْ آيَاتِنَا لَغَافِلُونَ. Because a large number of our creatures are heedless of our signs. So was the body of a Fir'aun preserved? And there was controversy on that too. Today we know that the bodies of these pharaohs were all mummified, and they are all preserved. And until today, the body of the Fir'aun who lived in the time of Nabi Musa has been preserved and is in the Cairo Museum. It is not in the Valley of Kings in Luxor. In Luxor, in the Valley of Kings, there are the mummies of numerous pharaohs. But the pharaohs who lived in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam are preserved safely in the museum of Cairo. Well, it is said Ramses II was the pharaoh at the time, and his body is well preserved for anybody to go and view. And there are those who say that no, Ramses II was not the pharaoh at the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. It was Merneptah. But the body of Merneptah has also been preserved. Indeed, when you go to the Museum of Cairo, as some of you may already have done, you will notice, and the guides show us there, marks, special marks on the body of Merneptah, indicating that maybe the probability is that he was the pharaoh at the time, and he was the one who was drowned, and not Ramses II. But be that as it may, we do not even need to get into the controversy. The bodies of the two are lying side by side. So whether it is one or the other, the word of Allah has come true that the body of Fir'aun has been preserved, and it becomes a sign to the people of the world till today that this is Aqibatun lil-mufsidin, this is the end of those who bring dissension in this world. Hence, it is the word of Allah that is to survive. Ja'a al-haq wa zahaq al-batil, inna al-batil kana zahuqa. Because with the coming of the Holy Prophet, haq has come, and it will remain victorious. And with the coming of the Holy Prophet, all other false religions will be vanquished. Indeed, Fir'aun, and this is the glory of Allah, glorified and exalted, Fir'aun vanquished his religion before his death, because calling himself a rab, when the time came for him to be drowned, he turned around himself and said, I have brought faith on the God that the children of Israel have brought faith. In other words, he erased the possibility of the Fir'aun being God in his very lifetime in the last hour. And this is how Allah operates. Well, 1400 years ago, how was the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, to know that the body of Fir'aun will be preserved? And we see it today, 1400 years later. Well, an argument that can be made is, but the body was mummified. So maybe the Holy Prophet knew, but it was not. Because immediately after these deaths, these bodies were conceived. For 3,000 years, the body of Fir'aun was conceived. And it was only after 3,000 years, after excavations, that these mummies of Fir'aun were exhumed, and that they were then put into the museum. So that when Fir'aun was revealed, the fact that the body of this particular Fir'aun had been preserved was not known in the world. For centuries, not for years, but for centuries before the coming of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, there was a curtain on this question. Is the body there or is it not there? But Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَنُجِّيكَ بَدَنِكَ, we have saved your body. So that those who wanted to excavate and look for it would be able to do so and find it. Allah preserved it as a lesson. And the body, likewise, Allah will preserve. Because a hadith is, one hadith is, that when the first Imam ajjalallahu farajahu will emerge, the bodies of the three will be found intact, and he will remove them. And when he will remove them, they will be found intact, and he will subject them to the punishment that he will be commanded by Allah to mete out to them. So you can see, this is a lesson from Allah, and he carries it out in the way most expeditious and most expedient to him. But facts unknown until then are brought to the notice of men through the Holy Book. I now proceed to the last agenda that I set out, the destiny of the universe, the destiny of our earth, and the termination of the universe. But before I do so, because these are matters of the future, entirely matters of the future, Quran is not only a repository of the past, and as I have endeavored to do, and I hope have had some measure of reaching you on these matters last year and on general matters this year, on specific matters, one can see that those details that the Holy Book mentions of in the Holy Quran were investigated and are only found true, but they are found true in their minute details, because the word of Allah is true to that extent. But one finds that matters of the present are also coming true, and Quran has matters of the future. I was hoping that I might be able to sum up, because we have discussed a number of matters which were unknown at the time of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and today have been proved true. Time has not permitted us to do that, but I'm sure you have got in mind all the various matters we've discussed, and you have the agenda. This is why I provided it in advance, so that it remains with you and you are able to follow through the details that we discussed. But what conclusion I want you to consider tonight is not only the question I kept posing, how was all this known, except if this was the word from Allah. Apart from that, which we have been pondering over, the other matter that I want to use tonight as a guideline to the youth is that one no longer can say that the Holy Quran is an ancient book 1400 years old. Indeed it is 1400 years old. Why should it not have been 14,000 years old? The reality is that it is as true today as it was when the first verse was revealed to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. And we keep reciting salawat of the Holy Prophet because he so faithfully received those verses, each letter of those verses, and so faithfully delivered them to us, in a way in which Allah himself praises him in the Holy Book. And but for this diligence of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, we would not have had the word of Allah in its pristine purity, in its pristine originality, and in its pristine truthfulness. But the answer therefore is that Quran is as alive today as it was when it first came to be delivered even in the time when the Holy Prophet was still in Makkah, and will remain alive, just as today we read the Quran and find that what we discovered in 1990s is in the Quran, and it is as alive today as it always was. Likewise, centuries later, when our descendants will come to study Quran, they will find that the Quran is as live and as living and as active, as truthful then in the years to come as it is today. Because the Holy Book is not a book of the past. It is not a book only of the present. It is also a book of the future, but it is a book of all time. If Allah glorified and exalted destined that it should be the last book he sends, and a book to remain a guide to the day of judgment, then all those matters that will arise to the day of judgment, those living at the time will see prescribed in the Holy Book. Just as today we are told of matters in the faith which men did not know centuries ago. But as we read Quran today, we read it from another angle. When we read the ayah of Quran, وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍّ لَهَا, we read it differently from the way our predecessors read. And we know more and more about سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ وَمِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And holy verse which I discussed last year. And when we read it today, we see much more in it than our predecessors did. Likewise, our children will see much more in the Holy Book than we have. The book that Allah, in His wisdom, has destined to remain alive to the day of judgment, will not only be alive until that day, but will supply proofs of its authenticity, as Quran, as research of today, is providing proof of the authenticity of Quran on every single matter. So much so that the scientists say that there is nothing, and they emphasize it, there is nothing in Quran which is inconsistent with science. We say, how could it be? That is the word of Allah. All you can say is that science has been more authentic. Science has been successful in learning what Quran has been teaching for years. But there we are, Then the Quran will say that the other books calling themselves scriptures contain myths that Quran does not contain. When Quran is read, it is read as a book of facts in sober language. And it is in this context, and it is in this background that I move on to say what Quran says about the future. Then we move to consider the future with confidence. I want to deal with this because the Holy Book consistently talks of it, and it is an important aspect, because one matter which has troubled people from becoming Muslims is the Day of Judgment. Accountability. When I stand here and speak, of course I am accountable, and may Allah forgive me for my errors. But errors made in any role, and I'm only giving my example because that is perhaps the best example to give than to mention anybody else, that for every role there is accountability. But this is the level of justice of Allah. If we are made accountable for everything we do, our progress will be higher. Our spiritual progress is higher. It is not the will of Allah to punish us. No. His will is to make us better men, nobler men, more thorough men. Men who can attain nearness to Allah, who is absolute purity. To reach that level, we need to be made conscious that we are accountable, so that we always do what is right. Those strong words, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Those strong words are deliberately put so that we become conscious of our activities, and we do that which is right at all times, and we stop doing that which is wrong at all times, so that our progress is maintained. And that is why Tawbah has been kept. If it was his will to punish us for every wrong, ma'adallah, and I say this because there are those used to complain in that way, if that was his will, he would not have kept Tawbah at all. But the provision of Tawbah and the time he gives us to make Tawbah, this time that we have tonight, and that we are still alive, and we are still breathing, and do not know whether we will be alive next year at this time or not, is a respite from Allah, glorified and exalted, that we seek His mercy. And His promise is that those who will mourn Imam Hussain alayhi salam tonight, and those who will recite those prayers that have been laid out for night, Allah will forgive them. Will forgive them their sins. Because one sure way of coming near to Allah is becoming near to Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Because Imam Hussain alayhi salam had only one path. He was not any religious person. He had only one path. He was himself Sirat al-Mustaqim. That path, the straight path, was he himself. So if we are with him, we can only be Sirat al-Mustaqim. And that is a straight road. That Sirat al-Mustaqim is not a winding road. It has no sub-roads leading from it. It is a straight road, and it is a straight road that only leads to heaven. It has no other destination. It takes us straight to paradise. And so, once we align ourselves with Imam Hussain alayhi salam, that alignment itself, Allah says, is enough to forgive us our sins. The atheists, the agnostics, the Makkans of the time of the Holy Prophet were sheer weary of the concept of the Day of Judgment, because they wanted to behave as they like, doing wrong, and wishing people to say that wrong was right. This is the problem with the Yazid also. He did what was wrong, and Muawiyah did the same. Did what was wrong, but expected and wanted the people to say that what they were doing was right. People were created in their course to stand up and praise them. And Mamun al-Rashid did this, Harun al-Rashid did this. They would do the wrong thing and expect just have people pay for this, to stand up and say that what they were doing was right. In other words, that conscience which Allah has kept in our souls to tell us that what we are doing is wrong, we're telling them that what we are doing is wrong. This is not the way to behave. This wealth that you are carrying out, this misappropriation of the money of the ummah that you are spending for your own political gain, is not the way to live. The conscience was spelling out the truth. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. That is the function of that soul, and it was performing it. They wanted to counter it. And they countered it by harassing Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam primarily, and then seeking people to praise them so that history shows them to be noble people. And that is why history today says Harun al-Rashid was a progressive Khalid, Mahmud al-Rashid was a progressive Khalid, and a good lot of progress was made in his time, and Muawiyah was a very competent ruler. All that is the product of what was the caricature of themselves that they built in their lifetime. But the reality is that in the heart of their hearts they knew that what they did was wrong. That's the example I can give. This example I just discussed with Quran. At the last minute when he told Yahweh, he certainly attempted to become a Muslim and attempted to bring faith. Allah Ta'ala warns them in this world and gives them the opportunity. But the love of this world is what, and the love of that temporary honor and temporary prestige and temporary power that they enjoy keeps them at that level in which they persistently do wrong. And in persistently wishing to do wrong, they cannot acknowledge Qiyamah. Because if you acknowledge Qiyamah, you are questionable. And if you are questionable, then you have to admit at least to yourself that what you have done is wrong. Now, those who claim to be Hanif in the name of Islam, like Mahmud al-Rashid and Harun al-Rashid, as examples that I put forward, and Yazid, they could not say that Qiyamah was not there. They could not publicly say that, but they did not believe in it. Yazid gave couplets in which he rejected Qiyamah. But Yazid rejected Quran, he rejected Wahi, he rejected Salah, he rejected the prohibition of drink. There was no sunnah of the Holy Prophet that Yazid did not reject. And yet he was kept as a Khalid. Because he was able to corrupt enough people to support him. And he was able to intimidate and make enough power to support him. And hence people reject the Day of Judgment. Because they are not prepared even mentally to accept that day would come when they would be questioned for their sins. Instead of, as Allah wishes, then repenting, and that is tawbah. Tawbah is nadam, it's repentance. Instead of repenting on their wrong and putting themselves right, they persisted, they wanted to persist in their wrong because of the lust that they enjoyed, and hence they would not wish to acknowledge sincerely the coming of the Day of Judgment. But the call of Allah was on the Day of Judgment, and hence in Quran Allah repeatedly talks of the death of the universe. And I hope that in a few minutes at my disposal I will discuss at least some of those ayahs. I know we have felt the squeeze of time pretty badly, and I may not do justice to this subject, but at least I wish to introduce it to you. And you will find those verses, for example, in chapter 70, verse 8. Allah Ta'ala says, يَوْمَ تَكُونُ السَّمَاءُ كَالْمُهْلِ. The day when the sky will become as molten copper. Sign of the coming of the Day of Judgment. Chapter 44, verse 10. فَارْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَعْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ. So be on the watch. فَارْتَقِبْ, be on the watch for a day when heaven shall bring a manifest smoke. It's interesting that word Dukhan we have discussed. We have discussed that Dukhan already when we were talking of the inception of the creation of universe. I come back to discussing the word Dukhan when I am talking of the death of the universe. How great that Allah is. That which is created with smoke dies with smoke. And that shows the great supremacy of Allah. And the third verse I wish to bring to your notice is in Surah Rahman, which you know by heart. فَإِذَا انشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ. Indeed. And when the earth, when the space is split open, Sakat istimau, when the heavens are split, and when they are split, they become rosy like red eyes. And that is exactly the position, the scientific position, as you can imagine, as you would imagine, I will say, and I only want to bring forward the evidence, that is exactly the position of the scientist vis-a-vis the death of the universe. That when that time will come, it will be a time when the universe will die. How will it die? Now, this squeeze of time does not worry me so much, because we have discussed this. I have spent the time on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, which I can reap the benefit of tonight, of how these supernovas are formed, how the black hole, it all started with our discussions of the black hole, how the black hole is formed. As we discussed, two functions, the nuclear fusion, the emission of hydrogen, when these stars exhaust their hydrogen and are not able to produce that energy, and then they are only relying on the nuclear fusion. And when helium is also burnt out and becomes carbon and burns into carbon, and that also fails, the energy that is produced by hydrogen and by the nuclear fusion, by which that energy was expelled out of the star, balanced the gravitational pull of the star. But when this hydrogen is exhausted, when nuclear fusion no longer takes place within the star, then the gravitational pull, and I'm oversimplifying the concept, the gravitational pull becomes stronger than the expulsion of the energy, and as a result, the star wrinkles in. And as we saw, the periphery just becomes around this, but it all sinks in, and the more it sinks in, it is not able to bear the weight of the upper part of the star, and it keeps sinking. And as it keeps sinking, ultimately it dies. And this is how all of them will die. But when they die, then the nuclear fuel is exhausted, as I said. But when they die, then they convert it into various stages. Some become white dwarfs, which we have already discussed, white dwarfs, red giants, which is what our sun will become, red supergiants, those are the massive stars that we discussed, and eventually a supernova, which we have already discussed. But in all these stages of dying procedure, the carbon core contracts further and reaches high enough temperature to burn carbon to heavy elements like oxygen, neon, silicon, sulfur, and ultimately higher metals, heavier metals like iron. Now that word mobile that we saw in that holy verse, it says yoma takunu samau kal mohul, and I interpreted it as molten copper. Well, it could also be iron. Any form of metal, generally, any form of metal, according to the Arabic encyclopedia, and I say that because other translations will only say copper, because they've only used a certain translation. But according to the Arabic encyclopedia, the word mohul generally embraces any metal. So all the sky becomes extremely hot. Dark red gas like molten copper of metal, as is miraculously illustrated in this verse, is emitted, and that is what appears of that sun. And hence, astonishingly, this descriptive commentary is in compliance with scientific fact. Yawma takunu samau kal mohul. But the next verse that I submitted to you was, for a second, يَوْمَ تَعْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ. What for the day when the heavens shall bring a manifest smoke? That is exactly what will happen. Smoke will come up. Stars are put out and they explode. And when they explode, gaseous nebulas are formed. And that appears in the form of a smoke. That is exactly how the scientist sees the death of the earth, and that is exactly how the holy book has set it up. The scientist does not know what has happened or what will happen. And I wish to say again what I said at the beginning. He sets out the theory. In a few years he changes the theory. Because more research finds that what he said before was wrong. And he needs to change it. The word of Allah has remained unchanged for 1400 years. And is as true today as it was when it was revealed. Then the Muslim found the word true. Today the Muslim finds the word true. And to the day of judgment, Allah's word will be proved true to mankind. It is the word of Quran that is final. It is the will of Allah that He should give enough knowledge to men about the truthfulness of Quran. That it is in the Quran, it is the will of Allah to give that knowledge to men, the knowledge that is contained in Quran. And that knowledge He gives piece by piece in His knowledge. Just as Quran was revealed, Quran itself was revealed piece by piece. The whole of the Quran was revealed to the Holy Prophet before it was revealed on earth. But then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, was ordered to reveal it to us in installments, and we got it in installments so that we could digest it as it came. Likewise, the knowledge of the contents of the Quran, Allah has sent out peace be. Today we have research on geology, which we have discussed. Tomorrow we have research on birth, which we have discussed. We have research on the universe that we have discussed. We have so research on medical science that we have discussed. Research on physics that we have discussed. You see why I wanted to arrange a sum up, but time is not permitted. But broadly, I am confident you remember the various matters that we have discussed. And as I said, I have given you a brief note in the agenda. So, all these research take place in installments so that Allah gives this knowledge. It is His will to give the knowledge to whomsoever He decides. If the Muslims do not prove themselves diligent enough because of their political miscalculations, because of their lack of true niyyah in progressing Islam, He gives it to those who are not Muslims. But His aim is ultimately that that knowledge should come to mankind. And the hadith of the Holy Prophet that I have already set out when he says, even if you get that knowledge from a kafir, take it, because it is your heritage. It is all, and it becomes our heritage because it is knowledge that they ultimately obtain from the Holy Book, which is a book that we have received. Likewise is the destiny of the earth. And let us discuss that before we finish. The destiny of the earth. Chapter 81, verse 3, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُجِّرَتْ. That time when the mountain will be set moving. Same chapter, verse 6, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, and the seas shall be set boiling. Now, how does that happen? And we come to that in a minute. Chapter 82, verse 3, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ, when the seas swarm over. And then an interesting ayah, a very revealing, illuminating ayah, chapter 101, verse 5, وَذَكُونُ جِبَالٌ كَالْإِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ, and the mountains shall be like plucked wool tufts. Surah Al-Qariyah. And chapter 77, verse 10, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ نُصِفَتْ, and when the mountains will be scattered. Well, if they are like wool tufts, you can see how scattered they will be. There will be no longer the need to keep the mountains as bags, as we discussed, to ensure that the earth does not shake. Now how does all that come about? The sun, as we discussed, will also meet the fate of the dying star. The nuclear fusion in it will be exhausted. The hydrogen in it that was producing helium will be exhausted. And it will, having run out of hydrogen, it will grow into a red giant star. The planets near the sun, including the earth, will be burnt away, because that will be the consequence of it. It will swell. When it contracts in that way inwardly, it then swells. And it swells 30 to 100 times its present size. So you can see how gigantic it becomes. Anything still alive on the earth will not survive this change, because it will become so large that it will get into the orbit of the other planets. It will swallow Mercury altogether. And the earth, it will come so close to the earth as to boil away the earth's oceans. And so you have these ayat, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. All these will, the water will boil away because the sun will become so hot and the mountains will melt. And so you have the verses, وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْإِحْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ نُصِفَتْ. Well, how will that happen then? Because the sun will expand so much, it will get into the orbit. It will, indeed, according to one theory, the earth will become part of the sun. It will be immersed in the sun. Mercury, of course, will be swallowed altogether. But the earth will even become part of the earth. The sun, therefore, by its expansion, will become so close that hadith we learned in the madrasas, and which I talked about and said we will come back to it, hence the importance that I do discuss this evening, that the sun will be at a 1.25 size of the sphere. We will find that it is just that much high from us. Science is now proving to us what that iron man, which we could not understand. How could the earth be so close that we see as high as only a sphere and a quarter, Savaneza, as it is said in Hindi. Well, how will that come about? So this is exactly how science puts forward will be the explanation. And the sun will be that close to burn away the earth. But that is the time when Qiyamah will be close by. These indeed are the signs of the Day of Judgment, as we learned in our madrasa. And I take pain to say this, so that you can see that these matters are not only matters of blind faith. When Allah wills, specific knowledge is given to us, even if it is through non-Muslims, but that knowledge reaches us and He opens our eyes and shows how truthful all that is going to become. Ultimately, it is the will of Allah, and it is to Him that we make our rukuh, and to Him we make our sujood. And we do on a night like this 100 times. Hence the importance that tonight we do recite those 100 rakat of namaz, in each one of which, after hamd, we recite Surah Tawheed 3 times, because there is no surah that glorifies Allah in the way that Surah Tawheed does. And yet it is so short. And let me finally talk of the termination of the universe itself, and give you what happens next. The sun will die, the earth will die, Mercury will die. What will happen next? Do we know? We don't know. Allah has given us that knowledge too. وَلَا رَبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. He says, يَوْمَ نَطْوِي السَّمَاءَ تَطَيْعِ السِّجُرِ لِلْكُتُبِ. Fantastic, fantastic words Allah Ta'ala uses there. He says, on the day when we shall roll up the heavens. It shows He created it. Because who can roll? Heavens are something are beyond our control, beyond our imagination for all it is. Who can just roll it all up? Except He who created it. And He who created it would know it. And how does it say He will roll it up? To make us understand, يَوْمَ تَقْوِيَ السَّمَاءِ كَفَيِّ السِّجْلِ لِلْكُتُبِ. As a scroll is rolled for the writings. If you roll up scrolls so that you can write on them, because in those days people used to write on scrolls, the A4 pad did not exist, but those scrolls, and just as you unscroll a scroll to be able to write on it, Allah says He will roll up the heavens in that way. And what does He say next? كَمَا بَعَدْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ. And just as we created the first of creations, so we shall bring it back again. وَعَدًا عَلَيْنَا. Strong words, a promise binding on us. وَعَدًا عَلَيْنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ. So we shall do what is well within our power to do. and it is within our power to do so. So it appears that when this universe dies, Allah is going to create another universe. Nothing remains, a vacuum. The space that exists will not remain vacuum. Allah has been there when there was nothing there. Allah will remain there when there will be nothing there. But He is not going to keep nothingness, because nothingness, as I said before, is inconsistent with the purity of Allah. And that is why when we are doing nothing, sitting idle, that is inconsistent with the sunnah, with the fitrah of Allah. We are not expected to do that, to remain doing nothing, to remain idle. That is inconsistent with human to human creature, because Allah does not waste space. He will create yet another universe. كَمَا بَدَعَنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ. Just as we created the first universe, we will recreate another one. وَعَدًا عَلَيْنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا صَعِيدُ. Chapter 21, verse 104. And take you to chapter 30, verse 27. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَوُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ. It is He who originated creation, then He brings it back. So when that creation serves its role, maybe billions of years, but when it has served its role, Allah brings it back, brings another universe back. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَوُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. And that is very easy for Him. It may be extremely difficult for us even to imagine another universe coming in, but Allah says for Him, that is very easy. وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He is loftiest in lightness in the heavens and the earth. وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. His is the loftiest example فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And He is mighty and He is wise. So He knows all these ropes and exactly how they should be fulfilled. And then in chapter 13, verse 2, He says, "Allahu Ladhi Rafa'a As-Samawati bighayri amalin tarawnaha." Allah is the one who lifted the heavens without any pillars. We have discussed this earth in this ayah. "Thumma istawaa 'ala al-'arsh wa sakhkhara ash-shamsa wal-qamar." And He made the earth, the sun and the moon subservient. "Kullu tajri li ajalin musamma." And all of them swim. I have discussed this word yajri already when we discussed that ayah of Quran, was shamsu tajri li mustaqarrin laha. And He says li ajalin musamma. All of these swim for an appointed term. So they live like us humans for an appointed term and die. These for the sun and the moon and Mercury and planets and the stars will all live for an appointed time and then they will die. لأجل المسمى يدبر الأمر يفصل الآيات لعلكم بلقاء ربكم توقنون. And we explain these verses to you so that you are sure of your return to Allah. So coming back to the Day of Judgment. That was chapter 30 chapter 13 verse 2 and chapter 44 verse 10. He says, فَرْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَعْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٌ مُبِينٌ. So be on the watch for a day when heavens shall bring forth a manifest smoke. An ayah that I have already discussed. Finally, bring to your notice chapter 14 verse 19. أَلَمْ تَرَعَنَ اللَّهُ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ بِالْحَقِّ. Indeed, if He will, He can put you away and bring a new creation, all creation all together. Alam tara'ana. So be on the watch for the day when heaven should bring a smoke. And then he talks of another khalq coming in. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ إِنْ يَشَعْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ. If He so wills, He can put you away. وَيَعْتِ بِالْخَلْقِ الْجَدِيدِ. And He can bring a new creation altogether. And so you can see that Allah Ta'ala not only tells us what is going to happen to the earth and the sun, but He is also going to happen what will happen after all the destruction. The scientists today have put forward three different theories, and I will not take the time to give you all the three theories. The first is that universe, and I'm talking of the first because we've discussed it, the universe will keep expanding forever. It will keep expanding and expanding. That is not a tenable theory, but that is their theory. But another theory that they put forward is that it is the oscillating theory. The oscillating theory is that this universe will die out and another universe will be reborn. How is that going to happen? If the first theory of Big Bang, that it all happened accidentally, through, do accidents happen by design? You can see how fallacious the scientific theory is. If they say that this cell will terminate and another will come, then the other will come by design. It does not come, but it does not come entirely by accident. Well, here is a sign that I must complete the tamheed, and so I do. And so Allah's will prevail, and He will do as He deems fit. But we know that He has the power to do so. And any power that seeks to destroy the power of Allah will vanish. Hence, when Yazid was out in his days to destroy Islam, Allah Ta'ala in His wisdom sent the martyrdom of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And if that martyrdom, as 14 centuries has shown, was a martyrdom in which Islam was to be protected and preserved, no power on earth is going to be able to destroy it. It will remain on earth to the day of judgment, and it will have remained longer than the day of judgment. But it is the will of Allah that on the day of judgment He should reward Imam Hussain alayhi salam for all his sacrifices, and should reward all those people who wept and mourned the martyrdom of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. We therefore look forward to that day of judgment in the hope that Imam Hussain alayhi salam will make our shafa'ah and will take us to paradise with him. And this is his promise to all those who have mourned him and have been afflicted by him. But that is very easy to understand, because the afflictions that Imam Hussain alayhi salam underwent, and it is our right to discuss this on this eve, which is the eve of Ashura, the afflictions that Imam Hussain alayhi salam went through, nobody else in the world has ever even approached to the extent of those afflictions. And he went through those sufferings, went through the old saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, I am pleased with what He has ordained for me. But a freeman li amrih, and I bow down to his command. That level of obedience to Allah, that level of self-sacrifice for the word of Allah to remain, so that Yazid is not able to destroy it, was the work of Imam Hussain alayhi salam alone. I have made it a theme in this ashra to show that when Imam Hussain alayhi salam took his team to Karbala, he selected a team of particular people, unique people, and the uniqueness of it shines brightest in his choice of his 6-month-old child. So you remember, kept saying to her mother, and even said to his father, ultimately took Azhar away from the mother, and Azhar would not leave the lapse of Allah of Subra, so attached he was to Subra alayhi salam. And she wouldn't leave Umar Allah to Subra, because she knew the role Azhar was to play in Karbala. And then Azhar, we are going Karbala one day. Subra is going to be alone, the house is going to be empty, Azhar does not move. Isn't it a matter of great astonishment that such words are being said to this just born child? To the recently born child? But these are not children. Kabiruna, Sagiruna, Sawa. The Holy Prophet said, in our family, these children and the grown-ups are at the same level of understanding. She would not leave the land. Imam Hussain alayhi salam and whispered something in the ears of Umm Shahzad alayhi salam.
And the moment and the moment he whispered those words, Ali Akbar raises his hand and jumps into the hands of Imam Husayn. And he's carried away. All the others were thanking Imam Husayn alayhi salam for including them in the list of those who will accompany Imam Husayn alayhi salam. There were those like Abdullah bin Ja'far, like Muhammad al-Hanafiya, who pleaded to be taken and were not taken. And there is Anwar, who clings to the patch of his sister. But Imam Husayn alayhi salam removes him from the patch of his sister and takes him away. And indeed, For a fantastic purpose, this 6-month-old child, it may well be, we do not know, the response to those tears was the whisper said. That was between the Imam alayhi salam and the 6 month and the just born son of it. So it remains a matter of secret, but we can surmise happily that Imam Husayn alayhi salam awaited said, Azhar, I am going to make my sacrifice, but you are the jewel in the crown of that sacrifice. Your sacrifice, Azhar, will prove my innocence, will prove that those who say that this was a political battle are so wrong, because just born children are not taken to battles that are political in nature. Allah cannot be pleased, cannot possibly be pleased with those who kill 6-month-old children who are only taken to the place to ask for water. What is man? What are intelligent men talking about? How can Allah be pleased with him who killed Azra, 6-month-old child when he was killed, but how small when he was taken from Medina? But Imam Husayn alayhi salam decided that is the kind of army he will take, so that posterity can look at Azra and say, truly, Husayn alayhi salam was on the right, and surely Yazid and his army were on the wrong. He proved the authenticity of Karbala, and so Imam Husayn alayhi salam moves on, and I take long leaps to connect this whisper to another whisper, a stage comes when all the companions of Imam Husayn alayhi salam are martyred. He was Akbari's martyr, now Imam Husayn alayhi salam is, as he said, Wahidan Farida. He is alone in that battlefield of Karbala with all those wolves that fly out to devour him. He is alone, and yet he is so fierce, yet he is so firm. He is not shaking, he is not trembling, but he comes onto the battlefield and makes it his janaza straight away. Hal min nazirin yasuruna. Is there anybody to be with them? That was, he knew very well that they were there to kill him, but he was giving them the last opportunity. That sunnah of which Allah asks that he gives the child for Tawbah is the sunnah of which his representative asks and gives them the last opportunity so that on the day of judgment they cannot complain. He says, Hal min nazirin yasuruna. Is there anybody to be with them? And he refused. A reply in his ears, he gets a whisper in his ears. He says, Lambaik, ya Abada, Lambaik. He's a whisper saying, oh father, I am the husband of you. I am the husband. Come and take me to the battlefield. And Imam Husayn alayhi salam instantly comes back and says, Ramadan, prepare Azra, I'm taking him to the battlefield. And the mother says, oh my master, why do you want to take this 6-month-old child to the battlefield? She says, oh my master, whoever has gone to the battlefield has not returned today. You take my Azra, he may not come back. My heart says, you will not come back. And the Imam alayhi salam says, Ramad, it may well be. What a hope this pious father has. It may well be that there will be people with 6-month-old children in that army where there will be Azra. There will still be water, and there will be water, and my Azra will be saved. Now to this logic, Umar Abad has no reply, that Umar Abad is the heart of Allah. That Azra is slipping from her hands. She prepares it. She gets it to wear the old soldier's clothes. she fully dresses up her and then round her in waist. She puts a toy sword on that waist of Abraham. We asked about today, oh Abraham, how come you brought that toy to the when you were reading the Torah? What made you bring it? Rabat, my jealous, I knew what was going to happen. He was going to be the first, the top soldier of my husband. So I gave him that sword as well. But the sword remained in the tank of our God. Imam Hussein salam brings it and says that to her, now, if you think I will be drinking so that you give him water, if you think I will drink water, then I keep him on the ground. My God, it is utter time. In Kerala, it is a hot summer Saturday, and then we have to stand it so hot, you keep it getting fertilizer, and you know, they say yes, to be an example to the people, then you say, well, they drink their water, they should give water to the 6-month-old child, they excuse them, you may know the way of judgment, we said, Hussein, my children, Hussein, excuse the child, and when he picks up the child's mouth, saying, oh my son, you are also a son of the Hujjatullah. You do your battle. Azrael, remove his son and spread his son on the list, telling the people how dry he is. How dry his mouth was. Indeed, the people started whining. There was consternation. There were people who turned around to offer the target saying, oh God, you were saying that he can see in your eyes. What's wrong there? This Azrael died, the Quran began to kill him. But he goes Hormala and then Hormala Iqbal Jalaf al-Hussein destroys the word of Hussein al-Hussein. Hormala takes a 3-pronged arrow. I ask Hormala, 1-pronged arrow would be enough. Hormala, this is a 6-month child that you want to kill. You don't see this. But you can see the prayer of Hormala. He takes the 3-pronged arrow. The first arrow misses, the second arrow misses in the court of Muqtar. Muqtar asked Hormala, you are such an accomplished arrowman. How did you miss? He said, by chance, my eyes spread to the tent of Hussein. I saw a lady who is there. My heart said, this is the mother of Hussein of Hussein. Don't kill us, Lord. This is the mother waiting for us. That over inspired the father, and the son went, and it went, and it entered in an opening in an open. It entered in one year. It came out to another year. The child was wounded. Imam Hussein alayhi salam could not allow the blood, the innocent pure blood of Abraham, to fall on the earth. It is the son on the earth. The earth said it will not grow a grain to the day of judgment. He could not go into the heavens. The heavens said, if one drop of this blood gets to me, not a drop of rain will go to the day of judgment. Hussein gathered the blood in his palm and put the blood onto his bed, saying, Ya Allah, I feed my grandfather with the blood of Allah on my head. And she trusted through him. He then now moved towards the tent. How easy to give the body of the 6-month-old child to a dear of ours. He takes courage and how firm Hussein alayhi salam has been. Yet, on this occasion, he is not able to move. He goes to the tent and comes back. He goes again and comes back. 7 times Hussein went forward and returned, saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He comes to Rabat. Hussein is not even able to speak to Rabat. He has his child in his hand. And then Rabat opens up the door. When she opens up it, she finds Azrael in the kitchen. And all that the father says, at the cement I had a heart through the slaughter, even the trick my own child like this. I kept praying that you were holding those. Imam Hussein alayhi salam brought everybody to the tent. and lying down, but with Azhar, he died a great, that was the only great Ulma who said that was the Yoda. He digs the grave, have you heard? And oh, Father, digging the grave itself, we never allow the believers to dig a grave. Hussein has no further than to come and say, Hussein, I will dig the grave for you. He dug the grave himself, and no one Azhar, what love for his big brother Hussein. This is a loving father, doing his last service to his big brother Hussein. He lowers the body and throws in the grave. Rabban says there is no water, but Hadith is that Rabban cries so much of the grave that the grave begins what? What do we say to Rabban when ultimately all the heads were on the stairs? Rabban sees the head of Azhar. Says Azhar, your father took the trouble to put you into the grave. He buried you with so much blood and affection. Azhar, they even got your clothes to put it on. Allah, 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 Allah,